Well, welcome to the path forward. My apologies for being late. I've been dealing with real world issues for the last hour plus. It's been a very interesting day. I've said before, and it's worth repeating, that there are a number of attacks that have been amped up over the last couple of months. I've been saying it. It's very true. And we're seeing the effects of that right now across, you know, multiple platforms. A lot of active exploits being not just activated, but we're seeing exploits being executed right now. And that's what I've been dealing with all day. So my apologies for being late. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, I'll tell you that much. The thing I wanted to talk about tonight is the mood of the country is very, very tense right now. And by the way, this will be audio only tonight because I'm sitting on another call with my camera going on another call, dealing with a real issue. It's still ongoing. So, but the mood across the country is tense. I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten just in the last week. Where, you know, guys that I've served with, guys that I was in command of, all saying the same thing. Sir, there's something coming. We can just feel it. It's very true. There is something coming. I don't know what it is. And I'm not going to speculate on what it is. You can see a lot of things converging right now. You can definitively see that not only is the population dialed into that, but a lot of people are starting to talk about it. And what I find very, very interesting is that now you're starting to see mainstream pundits talk about the very same thing, that something's coming. They don't know what, but something's coming. And a lot of people are freaking out about what Trump's doing, what Trump's not doing, who Trump's associated with. Look, 99% of what you're seeing right now is horseshit. It's all bullshit. So don't get wrapped up in it. Somebody called me today, all stressed out about what's going on in Texas. That's noise. And you've seen this before. You've seen these theatrics on both the state level and the national level for 5 years. I don't know why you're still participating in a system that's dead. That system is dead. It's not coming back. It's never going to be corrected through voting. It's never going to be corrected through internal politics, nor will it be corrected by anybody inside the system. People go into the system, they get corrupted, they enrich themselves, and then they go off into the sunset with their big prize. We're at the end of that. That is dying right in front of you. Don't think for 1 minute that anybody who's grifted and taken millions and millions and millions of dollars is going to have that in the bank after November. I mean, literally, we're seeing people talk now almost every day about the economy collapsing. Who knows how real that is? But it's all fear. In New York City, in New York State, in several other states, they're talking about, do you have a go bag? If you don't have a go bag, you should have a go bag. Look, this is what I'm going to say about all of this. Don't buy anything that you see in media, especially don't buy anything that you see in social media. I've seen so many recycled stories in the last 2 days. I've just tuned out because all of it's bullshit. It's all AI-driven, bot-driven propaganda. Like somebody, you know, I'm in Twitter jail right now. That's why I'm not broadcasting on Twitter tonight, because I'm in Twitter jail. Mainly because I told Pramila Jayapal that she's a communist piece of shit and a grifter. Somehow that's a threat, whatever. It's not a threat. That's calling somebody out for being a lying sack of shit and a grifter, which is what she is. And look, I'm not participating in the system anymore. I could care less, because at some point it will collapse under its own weight. And it's already starting to do that, despite their best efforts to tell you that everything's fine. Not fine. If it was fine, then why is it that companies are hemorrhaging? And I mean hemorrhaging money right now. Layoffs are going across all industries right now, not just tech. It's everywhere. And there's only a few industries that are actually thriving and expanding right now. One of those is logistics. Another one of those, you're starting to see a resurgence of manufacturing in certain places, though. It's not everywhere. So we're not seeing this, you know, the magic happen like we did in the first, you know, Trump's first term, like he's trying to tell everybody. And what I see, and this is just what I see right now, I see the Trump team racing to put in place this intelligence system. I'm going to call it an intelligence system because I don't know if it's a social scoring system, if it's a pre-crime system. I'm not sure what it is. But if you go back to 2019, Bill Barr released a memo that talked about they're setting up a pre-crime analysis database that will profile people and predict their crimes. Does that sound like a Tom Cruise movie to you? That should sound an awful lot like the Minority Report. At the same time, they're building this massive identity management program that's being run out of where? Anyone? Israel. I'm not wrapped up in that. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to push for what they're going to push for. But at the end of the day, they're going to fail. And they're going to fail because public trust in the government, public trust in the politicians, especially public trust in the media, is gone. It's never coming back. Politicians will never be trusted again by the American people. Full stop. Just call it what it is. Trump came in his first term and declared that media, mainstream media, was dead. And I agree with him. It's dead. It died under its own weight and its own corruption and its own malfeasance. And then there's the arrests. There's been no arrests after 196 days. And now, if you go listen to the pundits that are quote unquote close to Trump, they're talking about, oh, we won't see arrests until 26. They've got to release all the information to get the public ready for the major arrest. And they're going to start with Hillary, and it's going to happen probably sometime in October. I'll believe it when I see it. All I see is delay, 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 rhetoric, drama, rhetoric, more drama, delay. I don't see any action. And look, that's not a conviction of Trump. Trump doesn't control the DOJ. He doesn't control the FBI. And the wheels of justice turn slowly. It's a fact. And no matter how much you want to see people held to account, because I really do, the point is, I'm not paying attention to that either. I'm paying attention to the basics. Food, water, ammunition, preparedness, communications, medicine for 3 months. That's what I'm focused on. I'm not focused on any of the other bullshit. And trust me, there's a lot of bullshit right now. And to answer the three guys that called me and left messages on my phone this morning, here's my orders. When I get a call and I get a message that says, sir, something's coming, what are your orders? These are my orders. Be prepared for anything for 3 months. Be prepared to survive for 3 months without food, water, and power, having access to those. If you can have it on hand, have it on hand. If you can't have it on hand, figure out access to those things for 3 months. Because if anything major happens, it could be months before it comes back. I just did a Substack article about food. And somebody correctly in the comments said, yeah, water's going to be the most critical thing. I agree. Water is the most critical thing. But the one thing that's the most misunderstood piece of being prepared for a contingency is food. The dehydrated cow farts in Bitcoin that you could buy from, you know, Readiness Foods and Amazon and all those, they still require water. You still have to factor that into your water consumption when you're preparing for that. You also have to prepare for the fact that you may not have be able to get to a prescription for 6 months. And you may not be able to get to water for 6 months. That's the stuff that I'm preparing for. I'm not looking at the rest of this nonsense. I'm not waiting for somebody to come and save me. I'm not even waiting for somebody to tell me it's all clear. I'm focused on building my sphere of influence and my line of sight right now. That's what I'm focused on. And I'm trying to minimize my footprint financially at the same time, because they are going to crash the economy. The question is when. I don't know when. And they have spent the last 20 years trying to destroy and evaporate the middle class and centralize control. All that's going to fail. But it's going to suck between the time it collapses and the time we reconstitute. That's the facts. Does it mean that they're going to succeed? No, they're not going to succeed. But they're going to try. And it's going to seem like they're winning at times. It's going to seem like they're successful. But they're not. You can't build a system on a lie. You can't get public support. You can't rally support. You can't build trust on a lie. You have to build trust with integrity, with follow-through, with commitment. And most importantly, you have to be true to your word. You have to have integrity. If you don't have that, no one's going to rally around you. And what you're seeing right now play out on the world stage and on the national stage is the fact that nobody has any integrity. In fact, the best description I heard is I rewatched Tucker Carlson's interview with Sean Ryan on the Sean Ryan Show in June of 2024. And I had watched it before, but I didn't really pay attention to it as much as I did this time. And I don't know where Tucker's at on the spectrum of controlled, uncontrolled. I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he's an asset, he's not an asset. And the same thing with Sean Ryan. I've had people close to Sean Ryan say, sir, he's a really good guy. He's not controlled. He's a really good guy. I don't know anything about Tucker. You know, he says in the interview, I just found out my dad was CIA. I didn't know. Obama. Okay. But what he's talking about, the topics he's talking about, are in direct opposition of what we've been told. And what you're seeing play out is you're seeing the disclosure that the things that we believed were true, the things that we were sold by the establishment, the things that we were sold by the media, were all bullshit. One of them, and most importantly, is the fact that the one I was watching today was the Oklahoma City bombing. I've been needing to watch it for like a week, and I finally had a chance to sit down and listen to some of it. And no matter how you look at that, the whole thing is suspect, right? Two suspects. One of them was standing next to McVeigh when he rented the truck. And then he showed up nowhere in the investigation, nowhere in any of the indictments, et cetera, et cetera. That's significant. And then the FBI changed their story. Does that sound familiar? The point is that what we were told and what we thought was real are two different things. And a lot of us knew that, right? A lot of us knew that all the way back to Ruby Ridge, for those of you who remember Ruby Ridge. And same with Waco. We all watched it, you know, those of us that are older than dirt watched it live when it was happening. And all of those pieces are starting to come together. And look, I'm not focused on the messenger. I'm focused on the message. I'm focused on the fact that somebody is coming out and saying, for, you know, all intents and purposes, that everything you knew about this is a lie. And it's starting to trickle down to 9/11, right? And I think they're building towards 9/11 because he first talked about World War II through Darryl Cooper. Then he talked about some of the other malfeasance with Epstein through Candace Owens. And now he's talking about Oklahoma City. It sure sounds like they're moving towards a disclosure around 9/11. And look, I have a lot of issues with Candace Owens for a lot of different reasons. But what she said about Epstein for me was vindication. Because when I started talking about this in 2018 and then in 2020 when I started my show, everybody thought I was nuts. Everybody thought this stuff wasn't real. It's not real. That's a pipe dream. It's all conspiracy. Now people have figured out not only is it true, but it's way worse than we thought it was. This Epstein thing's way worse than we thought it was. And then I saw, you know, people go all the way over the other side, which is right out of pawns in the game, flood the system with complete lies so nobody knows what to believe. And that is they had cloning labs and that Bill Gates was running the cloning labs. Okay, there's no proof of that. I've never heard that. I've never seen that. I've seen all of the, clickbait whack jobs that promote that stupidity, but there's no evidence of that. Does that mean it wasn't going on? I don't know. I have no idea. The things I know is that the elite that we're talking about are addicted to children. Let me say it again. The elite across the planet are addicted to children. It's the currency of the elite. It's not money. It's not gold. It's not stuff. It's not property. It's not power. It's little kids under 10. That's the currency of the elite. And for years, people thought I was nuts when I said it. And then there was an interview. It wasn't Candace Owens. It was somebody else. I think it was Ann Coulter. Because she did the deep dive on Epstein. She's got all the receipts too. She said it first. And now Candace Owens is saying the same thing. So, and that's just one aspect of all of this, right? Do I think there's this massive cabal of people that are conspiring to destroy the earth? No. I think there's a lot of evil, sick people that are working diligently to destroy the planet, and they have an agenda, and I don't know what that is, and I don't care. What I care about is just like the whole Q stuff, right? The Q-tards send me shit all the time. Like, oh, go listen to this. This is the kind of information warfare that you were trained in. Yeah, go fuck yourself. The point is, you got to get away from your belief system and look at alternatives and look at other things to form an opinion now. You can't just latch into one or two sources and say, this is factual. Right, I have a variety of things I look at. Like the Washington Pundit, they only publish things that they can prove, and they have actual documented proof of. Same with Revolver.News. Now, you could make a lot of different assumptions about Zero Hedge and some others. There are some good articles on Zero Hedge, and there's a lot of good Substacks out there. But there's no single source of truth for the entire planet. And that is by design. And it's so nobody understands the bigger picture. Because a lot of what I see, especially when it comes to people that are talking about all the associations, the incestuous relationships, the informal relationships, and a lot of the business relationships that the elite have put in place to cover themselves, to cover the money laundering, to cover the trafficking and everything else. All of those things are marriages of convenience. But the people talking about it don't boil it up to the bigger picture to say, this is why this is happening. Right? And I've been approached twice this week to talk about subjects that frankly, and one of them is I'm still chewing on. I'll probably be chewing on that for a couple of days. But here's what I come back to. The public's not ready to consume a lot of this information. They're not in a place to consume it. And you have to package stuff now to where people can consume it. It's like if you've ever talked to somebody who's the wife of an alcoholic or a drug addict or a sex addict or a massive codependent or somebody who is manic, they will tell you the same thing. They will tell you, I thought it was bad, but when I found out, it was way worse than I thought it was. And that's That's where the public's at. It's way worse than they thought it was. And they don't know. They won't know how to process it. Right? You don't want to fucking black pill everybody. Because the reality is, yeah, it's that bad. And people are going to, people are going to figure out how bad it really was. Right? But you can't say to everybody, hey, this is all, we're all fucked. So it's over. Put your head between your legs, kiss your ass goodbye. That's not real. Because that's not how this is going to play out. I mean, humanity has survived for how many thousands of years? And we've been through wars. We've been through famines. We've been through real pandemics. And humanity always finds a way to survive. And we're at the cusp of a culmination point. I've been saying this for like 3 years. We're in the midst of the culmination right now. And when we spit out the other side, our youth, this generation, generations after me, they're all going to be hard as nails, and they're not going to put up with any of this shit. And it's going to be because we see how bad it really was. And we realize everything we've been told is a fucking lie. Like, I've started to question half the narratives of World War II. I could listen to Darryl Cooper, and I'm like, that's very interesting tale. And after reading Pawns in the Game, I look now with suspect eyes on everything I see. Because one thing that Darryl Cooper said in the first Tucker interview is that the religion of the state dictates how history is written. And there is no truer words ever said on this planet. That is, I have bumped up against that so many times. And I'll give you, for instance, so part of my job in the military, of not just doing, you know, cyber defense, was to analyze companies to figure out, is this technology, if we put this technology in a classified environment, is this going to phone home? And what associations does this company have with foreign actors that would want to collect on us? And you'd be surprised how many different companies have investments, have stock, have invested in or done acquisitions and acquired companies from other countries, you know, China, Iran. You'd be surprised. You'd be very surprised. And we take for granted that the Dells of the world and the Boeings of the world are just working for the U.S. They're just based in the U.S. They do business out of the U.S., but they don't have any companies or affiliations in other parts of the world. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. And when you start digging into it, you realize that a lot of these companies and a lot of this tech has parts from all over the world. And when you start looking at it from that perspective, you see, okay, there's a lot of infiltration across the board. And if you look at the bigger picture of how all these companies are structured and how they all interrelate and where all the investments come, you can see how there's a pyramid right to the top. We're going to see a lot of disclosure around, it's not just the kids. There's going to be disclosure around money, how money's created, how the system's set up. And you're starting to see the inklings, you know, the inklings of that coming through about the Fed. And I'm hearing Jekyll Island more and more now, which cracks me up because I read that book forever. But when I try to disclose to the powers that be about U.S. companies that had foreign investments that were not only toxic, they were a massive conflict of interest, and they would provide our enemies with intelligence collection capability, I was told, you can't publish that. You can't put that in any documents that go up to the higher levels. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're going to collect on us. This company works for an intelligence service. Why wouldn't we tell them that? You just can't tell them that. Because the religion of the state says these companies are good, everybody else is bad. And you would be surprised how many useful idiots believe that line of shit. And if you start really taking a deep look at how the structure of these companies were set up in the first place, the incorporation papers, the disclosure papers, the SEC, the SEC, I mean, you're going to see regulations that are tailored for obfuscation. And people don't realize, they don't know what they don't know. And having gone through both civilian and military, doing acquisitions and doing, you know, onboarding companies, I can tell you that what you see in the public spectrum for reporting is a microcosm of what's really going on in the background. And, you know, you look at Twitter. When Elon purchased Twitter, the very first thing I said is, that's not how this works. You don't do an acquisition in public and tell people that the stock price is bullshit. That's manipulating the stock. That's manipulating the sale price. That is guaranteed jail time for anybody else. But the Twitter acquisition was done in the public space, using the public space to out the company. And here's the kicker. Elon came out after the acquisition and said that Twitter was run by the intelligence service and there was a deep amount of staff that was linked and controlled by the intelligence services and the government apparatus. Do you ever hear about any of those people getting fired? Have any of those people left Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Meta, Gay, or any of the other affiliated companies? Did you know that Facebook owns WhatsApp? I mean, it's all those associations that are buried because it's not being disclosed to the public. And the point I'm trying to make here is that the religion of the state dictates that these companies are presented in a positive light when really they're controlled by foreign interests, or they're controlled by the intelligence apparatus. Which is why I don't believe any of them. But more importantly, we're not getting the full truth. And the religion of the state dictates that we don't get the full truth. And until that system dies, we're not going to have a source of truth. And that's the bigger picture. And I'll go as far as say this. I don't have any of these social media platforms. I have at least one or two computers in my house that don't have any of that shit on it. None whatsoever. But these days, it doesn't matter anymore. With AI, it doesn't matter. With Copilot and Apple AI, they're collecting on your screen no matter what you do. So your sense of privacy is gone. And that has to die completely. And again, they're going to try and put this in place regardless, and it's going to fail. There's not a lot that we can do about it, so why worry about it? I would say minimize your footprint, minimize what you say online, minimize what your interactions are online. I mean, I'm already out there in the public space. I was reminded poignantly the other night that, sir, you put yourself in this position, you're out front. And I've heard it like three times this week. I'm like, yeah, I know. I was called to do this. I was called to do this. And it showed up in a couple of different ways back in 2020. And what's funny is I wasn't even thinking about going this route. But I had a bunch of friends around me saying people would benefit from you talking about this because you know how it all works. So my point of saying all of this is that the whole system's designed to keep you in the emotional state of fear, to keep you amped up so you react out of fear. And you can't get wrapped up in that. You got to lose the fear. I've said it before. I keep saying it. Lose the fear. You got nothing to be scared of. Because at the end of the day, when your time's up, your time's up. Your number's up, your number's up. Not going to outrun it. You're not going to dodge it. It is what it is. So why worry about it? I mean, seriously, why be stressed out about it? Because you can't do anything about it. Just the way it is. So live your life and stop getting wrapped up in the emotional stuff so you don't make decisions out of fear. Make decisions out of, you know, what do I want? What do I want out of this situation? And move out from there. And, you know, The other thing to remember is that you're going to hear a lot of different words: anger, fear, frustration. All those emotions are masks for other feelings, right? The feeling that most people have is helplessness. I'm helpless to do anything. I'm helpless to change the situation. I'm just going to suffer because I'm in the situation. You're not helpless. You're helpless to change the situation at the national level. None of us have any influence over that. And we're not going to. You can call your elected officials all you want. They're not going to do anything because they don't work for you. But you are empowered at the local level in your community. You're empowered to help other people. You're empowered to help yourself. And you're empowered to make decisions and risk-based decisions. Tell I've been on the phone all day. You're empowered to make risk-based decisions to protect your friends, your family, and the people you care about. That's where your focus should be. It shouldn't be on the national level stuff because it's all nonsense anyway. It's not going to change. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be there for the duration. So why worry about it? The things that I'm worried about, like I said, I'm worried about 90 days. That's really where my head's at. And I'm not going to move off of that because there's no point. There's no there when you start talking about arrests or who's behind it or who's funding it, what's coming next. They tell you what's coming next. They've been telling you there's something big coming. And they're telling you that, you know, it's probably going to happen September, October, November. It always happens in late October, right? They crashed 2008. When they crashed the economy, late October, early November, big crisis. People lost their homes. Banks sat on mountains of housing inventory, jacked up the prices. Nobody held accountable. You think that's going to happen again? Let me ask you a question. If they crash the economy this time, are you going to believe any of the rhetoric that comes out of DC? Are you going to buy any of that? Oh, well, it was the housing market that killed everything. It was the bond market that killed it. You know, the high interest rates killed it. Lack of production killed it. Really? Are you going to believe it this time? Or are you going to call BS? Because I can tell you, most people are going to call BS. They're going to look at it and go, no, I don't buy that. I mean, look at how many people are starting to question Trump. Right? Day two, he brings in Larry Ellis and Scam Altman and starts talking about Project Stargate. Yeah, we're going to build a health system based on mRNA, which, by the way, is killing people. And we're going to put these two psychopaths in charge. You know, Project Oracle, Mr. CIA, and Scam Altman, Mr. Evil AI. We're going to put these guys in charge. You should trust them. It's going to be a great thing. We're going to spend billions of dollars to build infrastructure that we don't have the power grid to support. Everybody called it out that day. And then from there on out, it's just been one train wreck after another that's eroded his credibility. And today, even today, he doubled down on warp speed. He's still doubling down on it. He's learned nothing. He's heard nothing from his base. So what do you think's going to happen when the economy crashes and they try and blame somebody else? Or worse, the economy crashes and they hit us with a pandemic again? How many people do you think are going to sign up for that? Look, you're going to have your lemmings that are scared all the time, but you're seeing a growing part of the population that's looking at this going, yep, don't buy any of this anymore. And that's where we are. And that trend is only going to continue towards the suspect side of the house. It's not going to move towards the fear side of the house. Trust the government, trust the plan, trust the science. Those days are over. That message is dead. It died in 2022. When they came out after we'd been stepping over each other and coughing on each other for 2 months at grocery stores that you have to put on masks, that's when people are like, wait a minute. And that's where we are. So stay out of the emotional space. No sense being There's no sense being scared. There's no sense worrying about what's coming. Just be prepared and stop worrying about the rest of it. I don't care about a pandemic coming. I don't care about, you know, the new ones, the aliens. I always get a kick out of that. This, you know, this interstellar object. It's an alien spacecraft. Okay. Who told us that? A Harvard Jew. Yeah. Yeah, we're all buying that. I mean, I heard that today and I still had to laugh. A buddy of mine's like, yep, the Harvard Jew told us that it's alien, so we believe it. I mean, if that is not the quintessential statement for how a large portion of the public feels right now, I mean, and he probably wouldn't have said that if it wasn't for all this anti-Semitic, you know, rhetoric around bills now. And oh, look, this whole anti-Semitism, this whole bill that they're talking about, go read Pawns in the Game. They did the exact same thing in the Russian Revolution. It's the exact same playbook. They're doing the exact same thing. They're trying to create as much chaos as possible and blame it on one thing or another so they can consolidate power. If you have not read Pawns in the Game by William Carr, you should go read it. And I'm telling you, it will change your view of the world because you will see things clearly. And it will change your view of who's running the show. And that will take you out of the fear space too. Right? As soon as I read that, I'm like, all right, I get it. I got it now. Because it put in perspective for me a lot of things that I was seeing that I couldn't put my finger on. It's like, this looks familiar. This looks familiar. This looks familiar. And this started way back in 2012 with Obama, all his rhetoric and all his racial tropes and all of his race baiting horse shit. I'm like, I've seen this shit before. I don't remember where I saw it, but I've seen this before. It's all right out of the Russian Revolution. And if you listen to Tulsi Gabbard and all these revelations, so today she went after Clapper, who, by the way, is a piece of shit. And you know, all these guys need to be rolled up for treason, all of them. But they're still talking. Look, we got a mountain of evidence. This guy did this. Okay, what? Go roll him up. What are you waiting for? You got the evidence. Go roll the guy up. Let him cool his heels at Gitmo until you collect all the rest of the evidence. But if you got him on a felony, if you got him on treason, go arrest him. What are you waiting for? Delay, delay, rhetoric, drama, delay. It's, I mean, same thing. And, you know, it kind of plays out like I used to joke with my brother. My brother was a huge Stargate fan. And I took me a long time to get into the series because I watched a couple episodes. And like I said, you know, watching TV for me is a curse, right? Because I see all the themes and messages. And, you know, Stargate, if you watch any of the episodes, they're all the same, right? Evil, evil, evil. Good guys get their asses kicked. Evil, evil, evil. Good guys have a win, evil, 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 good guys triumph. Every show, all the same. And on Monday, I watched the new War of the Worlds. Oh, God. Okay, first of all, it was entertaining that, and you know, NWA rapper was a high-speed, you know, DHS analyst that was monitoring and watching everybody. And this invasion happened. They all landed. And unlike, you know, H.G. Wells, who... the first one, if you don't have the radio broadcast, you can find it on the internet. It's genius. Fucking genius. I listen to it every so often because it's just fucking genius. And I started laughing about 5 minutes in because I'm like, that would never happen. That's bullshit. Oh, there's the message right there. Your freedoms don't matter. Your privacy doesn't matter. We got you. What are you going to do about it? I mean, it was basically, fuck you. What are you going to do about the first 10 minutes of the show? And then all of these aliens start landing and everybody's phone still works. Cell phone still works. FaceTime still works. Go through this massive alien invasion and they've attacked all of our, you know, strategic infrastructure, all of our military bases, all of our critical sites, but everybody's phone can still do FaceTime. Right. And the funniest part of it was that, and by the way, if I'm spoiling this for you, too bad. because I thought it was cheeky as shit. At the end of the movie, he's like, he's in a classified building in a secure area, and they fly a drone right to his feet. Right. That's going to happen. I mean, come on. But the biggest part of the movie that I thought was massive predictive programming was, number one, that these aliens are after Data. Our Data. They want our Data. Yeah. Not the original H.G. Wells movie. The original H.G. Wells radio broadcast was about an alien invasion where they wanted to take over the planet and terraform the planet. And the Tom Cruise version was good, but it strayed a little bit off of that. But the end of it was exactly the same as the first one. This one was just hokey and stupid. But they're telling us right now, like, you're seeing all kinds of alien invasion shows right now, right before this object gets here in November, October. I mean, come on. Do they have to tell you anymore? It's all predictive programming. Fear, fear, fear. And this is what they do. They inundate you with themes and messages before, called influencing operations. They're setting conditions so you buy the narrative when they actually need narrative. That's what they're doing. And I'm not saying they're going to pull the alien invasion card, but they sure are sending the messages right now. And if you go back to 2020, if you think I'm high, go back to 2020 and take a look at all of the pandemic movies and post-apocalyptic pandemic movies that were right around 2019, 2020, and 2021. Just go do a search on Amazon, start looking at dates, all right around 2020. After a deadly pandemic destroyed and killed off most of the Earth's population, two survivors struggled their way to survive. Oh, whatever. It's all predictive programming. It's all influencing operations. It's what it is. It's what you're seeing right now. Don't get wrapped up in it. It's all bullshit. And if they do land, like I said, I'm going to have a sign around my neck. So if I do get smoked, it's going to say one thing. Stay out of my ass. Pretty simple. Don't get wrapped up in it. 90 days. Okay, so on the administrative side, by the way, that's a good place to wrap this up. On the administrative side, on Friday, on August 8th, there's a concealed carry course, $50. It's a great deal. You still got to do fingerprints, which is $35. I think you can do it through USPS. I can't remember where you can do it. But if you're in Arizona, check out my Telegram channel for details for the CCW course, or check out Troop's channel for the CCW course. I'm going to actually be attending because I need to renew my CCW and I let it lapse a few years ago. So I'm going to be attending. So if you want to sit there with a bitter old man, that's a great time to do it. Starts at 10 o'clock and hope to see you there. On the 23rd, I'll be up in Yavapai, up in Prescott at the Yavapai preparedness group. I'll be talking and probably doing a show up there. I'm going to try and do a show with the Arroyos. And I've asked a couple of people now, the Arroyos are one, to collaborate on the Resilient Community book. I have a few others to talk to, but we're starting to get that off the ground. So appreciate the call from Jim and Janet, good people. Really appreciate the support and be looking for that. It probably takes, I want to have it done. I want to at least have a draft of the book done by the end of September, end of October. So yeah, you're looking for that. The short answer here though is 90 days, folks. Plan on 90 days and be ready for anything. But stay out of the fear space. Lose the fear. My God, stop being scared. Nothing to be scared of. Most of what we're seeing is BS. Most of it's contrived nonsense. Don't believe anything. Work your way backward towards the truth. I'll see you probably on Friday. It depends on my week. My week's been shit. So I'm going to try and do another show this week. Next time I won't be late. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.